exciting.
Welcome once again to another very special episode of PDGA Radio. It's Grant Zellner and Jennifer Allen, and I know we say special episode a lot, but in this case, that is most definitely the truth, because this is an episode designed to commemorate and perhaps even introduce you to Tim Selinski. And as you may know, this week is a PDGA major, the Tim Selinski U.S. Masters Championship, which Jennifer will be playing in. So we just want to take a few minutes right now to introduce you to who Tim Selinski was.
Yes, and helping us do that this week is none other than David Greenwell, Sam Farrens, and Kurt Lampkin. These are several close friends of Tim that are going to take a few minutes to share a few stories with us. Even I personally have played this game since 1999, and I don't think I ever really got to cross paths and sit down with Tim. So I've played for this long, and I don't even truly know all the great stories of Tim, except for that he was one of a kind. So I'm very excited myself to get to take this moment and learn just a little bit more about Tim.
So first, we'll speak with David Greenwell on PDGA Radio. So the Tim Selinski U.S. Masters is coming up, and I think there are a lot of people in disc golf today that have heard Tim Selinski's name, and they understand that he was an important person in our sport, but they don't know why. You, David, were good friends with Tim, and so I think there are few in the world who could do a better job of telling the rest of us about Tim Selinski.
Tim Selinski, above all else, was a great human being. I mean, Tim was just one of those kind of guys that made you smile and greeted you with a smile. And the only time in my life that I was right about scolding a TD because they changed the rules from the practice rounds to the real rounds was Tim Selinski. And I felt so bad after I scalded him a little bit that I felt like I was wrong in even bringing it up. and that happened at the first U.S. Masters, which was in L.A. And he had all the out of bounds lined up, and we practiced them. And then when it came time for the tournament, he changed some OB without telling somebody, and I ended up in the OB. And was like, wait a minute, that can't be OB. It wasn't OB in the practice rounds. And Tim apologetically said, well, that's my fault. And I mean, this is after I'd already blown some smoke. And he said, it was my fault. And I was like, oh, crap. Now he's claiming it. And how am I going to be mad at him? But thank God it wasn't enough to keep me from winning the first U.S. Masters. So that part was fun and cool. And from there, Tim and I were, you know, we were great friends anyway, but that just solidified the friendship. And I called him Fireman Tim for the exact reasons that I just told you, that anytime Dave Dunapace or Harold Duvall started a fire, Tim was there to put it out, because it was hard to get mad at Tim. But I did get a chance to run the only real tournament that I was the head TD. I mean, I was assistant TD on a bunch of different early tournaments and some other ones, but I was the official head TD for the 2012 Tim Selinski U.S. Masters. And not blowing my own horn, but Barry Schultz said that it was the best one that he ever attended. And it was a blast. We got to bring Tim's wife in and put her up in a really nice hotel. And it was one of the most special moments for me. You know, aside from winning, aside from all that other stuff, running a tournament that was dedicated to the memory of Tim Selinski was unbelievable. And another little side note is Tim, at the time of his passing, was the only other person that had played in every professional disc golf world championships. So it was he and I. And so I think 2008 was the last time he played, but he showed up in 2009 in Kansas City. And I think he might have, you know, thrown a disc on one hole or something and wasn't really officially part of it, but he was there because he was still alive and he was going to be at every Worlds. And there were some pins made up, like little safety pins that had a few little blocks of with letters on them that said ski, and it had a blue ribbon on it. And for every other Worlds from that day on, I have kept that in my golf bag just to keep him at every Worlds. So, I mean, he was a great human, and that is something that I will remember and be proud of that fact for the rest of my life.
It's definitely the universal thing that I've heard from everyone is what a unique, incredible human that he was. That's usually the first thing out of everyone's mouth.
Well, they were all right. They were all right. I mean, Tim wasn't ever a great disc golfer, but he was a really good overall frisbee player, you know, and playing Guts was not something that was fun when you're playing against Tim Selinski. I mean, Guts wasn't really that much fun anyway. I guess if you drank a lot, which I didn't, you know, then
it hurt a lot more.
I actually won several Guts events in the early days, but they used to call me names because I wore batting gloves, and they called me every kind of wussy that you can think of. And I was like, look, I'm a disc golfer. You know, I got to save my hands a little bit. I don't mind throwing them at you, and I don't mind catching them, but, yeah, busted blood vessels is not my favorite putting tool.
No, that hurts.
But yeah, Tim was great.
Did you say 2012 when you were the TD? Was that the first year that Tim Selinski's name was officially attached to the U.S. Masters?
Sure, it was 2011.
That was the first year?
But they had already had it lined up, and so I couldn't get that one. I tried to get that one, but I got the first one that was available. And it was an honor to TD his event, you know? I mean, that's the only way I know how to say it.
Well, thank you for sharing a little bit with our listeners, just to let them know some history of the game, and more importantly, a little bit about a person who was very, very important, not just to the game, but important to a lot of people in the game. And he's left a mark on their lives. And now they continue to influence the game that we all love, in part due to how important Tim was to them. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Sure. And, you know, I mean, Harold and Dave are really good business people, but I guarantee you Innova would not have been the company it was were it not for Tim being a part of it. You know, I mean, they would have succeeded because they are pretty diligent with what they do. But Tim was a huge part of it, and I guarantee you they will say that very thing.
Looking forward to the Tim Selinski U.S. Masters, a PDGA major, coming up in just a few days. Thanks, David.
Thank you, David.
Thank you so much.
Once again, that was David Greenwell, longtime professional, reminiscing a little bit about Tim Selinski. Up next on PDGA Radio, we have Sam Ferens of Innova Discs talking about Tim.
Joining us now on PDGA Radio is none other than Sam Ferens with Innova Disc.
Good morning.
Hey, Sam.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be here.
Well, we are really thrilled to have you on for just a few minutes this morning, because we know that you are another one of the people that can introduce Tim Selinski to our listenership. And like we were talking about before we came on the air today with you, Sam, Jennifer and I believe, and we think we have the evidence to believe this, that a significant number of those listening right now are new enough to disc golf that they have heard of Tim, but they don't know why Tim for example, they don't know why Tim's name is attached to the U.S. Masters tournament. They can assume, and rightly so, that Tim was an influential figure, a special person. But beyond that, they don't really know why. So we're trying to take a few minutes before the Tim Sulinski U.S. Masters kicks off later on this week, just to introduce our listeners to somebody as special as Tim Sulinski. And we know you can help with that.
Well, thank you. I'm honored. I'm honored to be here. And I miss the big guy. You know, I first met Tim in the early 80s. He was actually before Innova, working for the IFA, and that is the International Frisbee Association. So he was doing all kinds of social things and shipping, and he was just such a personable guy. And I met him first at the US Open at La Mirada, and just, you know, just enormously friendly, handshakes, hugs, and he listened to what you had to say. That was the big thing about Tim, was he just genuinely wanted to help. And that's the takeaway. I learned so much from Tim. And later on, Dave Dunipace, Harold Duvall, Charlie Duvall, and Tim Sulinski became the founders of Innova Champion Discs in 1983. And I remember as a kid, them coming in their 1983 Chevrolet conversion van. And as soon as that like turned the corner, you know, we knew, hey, that's the Innova guys. And Tim would always come out of that van with discs and smiles and hugs. And you know, we always miss the big guy during these times. And what a fitting tribute to have a tournament in his name.
Sure. No doubt about it. Well, Jennifer and I just hope you can share with us maybe a couple of stories that will give everyone a snapshot of Tim. I know that won't do a man like Tim Sulinski justice, but it would help so many people to begin, and maybe then they can go off on their own and find out a little bit more about Tim. So
sure.
Can you tell us maybe some specifics?
Sure. I mean, I've known him since the early 80s, but I went to Japan for a spell. I was an affiliate of Innova, helping disc golf in Japan. And when I came back in 1999, I was working in the same office with Tim Sulinski. And that was in 1999. And I had the pleasure of working under him for 10 years. And just, you know, the way that he came into the office, he said, you know, the way that he would say good morning, the way that he would conduct business, the way that he would listen to customers. He was truly the voice of Innova. And, you know, again, he also created the Golden State Classic, which was a wonderful event. Tim was all about the experience. You know, he was about having banquets, having, you know, the best players packages, you know, having dialogue with the players. You know, he was truly a Hall of Famer. They inducted him in 1999 as a Disc Golf Hall of Famer. And boy, you know, words just can't really do the man justice. He was a family man. He was constantly, you know, involved with disc golf and the promotion. He taught me how to do trade shows. There was so much about the guy that I don't think our listeners truly know. And hopefully, you know, one of the things, you know, when we're all gone, I would hope that the Tim Sulinski event, you know, continues. That's something that is a true tribute to, you know, a great man. You know, I try to you know, it's very hard to follow in his footsteps. But a lot of us at Innova, you know, we use Tim as an example to try to follow in that direction that he had, which was just a connection with people, you know, just a famous connection with people.
Yeah, it's so consistent. Everyone, when they described him, we hear the same words, you know, the kindest, most friendliest person, so compassionate, so much love, the biggest hugs. You know, every single person we've talked to consistently, that's the first words out of their mouth.
Yep. a fantastic ambassador to the sport. And he was able to travel with Dave to a lot of the events. And that was special to see those guys. I know that they had a tight relationship. And, you know, he went to Japan. One of the funny stories I had about Tim was he was out with you know, it's a very social event in Japan. He was out with Team Taiwan, and they were introducing him to Nigori Sake, which tasted a lot like coconut. And Tim loved coconut. But what he didn't realize was Nigori Sake had alcohol in it, and it packed a punch, let me put it mildly. So needless to say, the next day when we woke up to go to the, like the third round of the Japan Open, Tim was very slow that morning. And I just remember driving into the Showa Kiden Koen in Tachikawa, you know, he was like, oh my God, I'll never go near coconut again. I'm like, Tim, that wasn't coconut. But just a lovely man. And, you know, the experiences that we had together, you know, it just, I still have, you know, the tears, you know, in my eyes when I think about Tim.
Was he much of a player, or was, you mentioned he was inducted to the Hall of Fame. And I think a lot of people assume that's because you're a great player, but don't know that you can be inducted to the Hall of Fame for lots of reasons. Was Tim much of a player? Or was it a lot more his off the course?
He was definitely a player. He played. One of the things that he had a world record at catching the fastest thrown disc. I don't know what the record is, but it was up there. It was like 70 miles an hour. You know,
Holy cow. Less. But there were.
He was a great catcher, and he played Guts famously. He was a famous Guts player. And if you don't know Guts, that's like, you know, four people on each side of the line. It's like, I want to say 10 meters, maybe 30, 35 feet. And you throw as
hard. It's like playing Red Rover with Frisbees.
Exactly. And you throw as hard as you can. And the goal is for the other team to catch it. So there's trick shots. You could tip it and the other person, but you have to catch it with one hand. And Tim had the world record for years for catching the world's fastest thrown disc. Yep. And he was also a champion DDC player. And DDC is another thing you're going to have to look up. That's like space age tennis with the disc. So there's two players in the court. You throw. The goal is to get the disc in the court either at the same time to score 2 points or one disc without the player catching it that has to remain in the court for a point. And it's a lot of people are still playing it to this day. And Tim was a champion at that as well.
Yeah, that's such a fun sport and will sucker you into wanting to find courts as soon as you play.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, in a world where pickleball has taken off, I see no reason why double disc court can't have a resurgence.
We should bring that back. Get it out
we
there.
Should.
Pickleball went like wildfire.
Maybe we need to rename it after a random condiment. I mean, if pickleball.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to just rename double disc court.
Yeah. I like it.
Mayonnaise toss.
Yeah, yeah, something. Whatever it takes, right?
Yep. It's something. It's one of the things that, you know, that Tim was involved with at the U.S. Open. There's, you know, seven disciplines. He was always there as a great promoter and ambassador to the sport. You know, he's truly missed.
Well, thank you so much, Sam, for taking a little bit of time and tell us a little bit more about this special man. And we hope to all honor him so much here this week at the U.S. Masters.
Yeah. And Jen, good luck, Quad Cities. Let's do this.
Thank you so much. We will be playing. There's a little bit of change in the schedule. We will just be playing Camden 2 this week for MP and FPO 40. So,
all right. Well, it's a pleasure to speak with everybody. And, just I'm happy that you're able to honor our good friend and founder and have a great event, everybody.
Thank you so
much. Thank you, Sam. We'll see you on the road. Once again, that was Sam Farrens of Innova Champion Discs telling us a little bit about Tim Selinsky. Up next on PDGA Radio, last week something kind of interesting happened. Jennifer was at PDGA Pro Worlds competing and ran into a gentleman at her hotel. And it just so happens that this man was close friends with Tim Selinsky. So here's what we did. We were at the Emporia Country Club in the middle of the day. We took this gentleman upstairs, found a little space. The sound quality isn't great for a podcast. There's a lot of noise in the background. There's a lot of thumps on the table disturbing the microphone. But what I want you to do is don't focus on the quality of the audio. Just focus on the quality of the conversation. It's with Kirk, the Frizz Whiz Lampkin, and it's on PDGA Radio. As everyone knows, Jennifer and I have been looking for very special people to tell us about the very special person, Tim Selinsky, here on the eve of the Tim Selinsky U.S. Masters Championships. And here on the eve of the final day of Worlds, Jennifer and I found just such a person in Kirk Lampkin, a friend of Tim's, and we are here with him to ask him to tell us a little bit about who Tim Selinsky was.
Number 1471.
Yeah. it's just been such a fantastic 42 years in the sport, in every aspect, playing professionally, ambassador, collecting, instructing, coaching, and I will be always involved in the sport, even though I retired from competition in 82. But that's not me. We need to initiate this.
Starting at the beginning.
Yeah. How what happened the first morning at breakfast?
These two wonderful men are staying at my hotel as well, and they walked in for breakfast, and you just have that gut feeling that people are special. And I think that's why I loved stepping up and playing Masters, is because there's just a different feeling of family. Disc Golf Pro Tour, the pro tournament and tour is fantastic, and it's elite to a level it's never been at. But there's something special that's different when you're with the people that start, were there at the beginning. And I just knew that this gentleman was, and I just had a very gut intuition. And I just looked at him and I said, "Did you know Tim?" And I think he did.
Sure enough, one of the people that maybe knew Tim better than most.
Well, I'm going to correct her a little.
I like someone who's not afraid to correct him. Because I'm terrible.
Yeah, well, so I'm standing up, she's sitting down, but she's facing me. And mm-hmm. Kent is right over here. And she goes, I'm looking for someone to, to interview about Tim Selinsky. Mm-hmm. I went, whoa, right? And Kent, she looked kind of at him, and Kent said,
it's him. Kent pointed at you.
Yeah.
Talk to Kurt. Talk to the Frizz Whiz.
Well, that was like amazing. Wow, I got a little,
He did. Like, I was going to not tell that part, but you could tell it was very special.
Wow. So, okay, Tim, you can say everything under the sun and under the moon and the stars about what a quality individual persona, love that Tim was. Mm-hmm.
How did the two of you originally cross paths?
Well, early on, he wanted me throwing Innova instead of and those guys, Donna Pace and Tim, Kurt, just throw some of our stuff. And they would, even Donna Pace gave me, it was amazing, he gave me some blanks. Said, "Kurt, throw these and tell me what you think of them." Okay, type of thing. Well, Tim and I got close real quick. And then we had this thing for sports, baseball, and he knew I had been collecting starting in 1977. So every Christmas, I would receive in the mail a test run, first run, CE Champion Edition Valkyrie every Christmas. Test colors. And that was real special. Mm-hmm. And I knew that he was a baseball guy like me. So I found out, well, who's your favorite baseball player? He's Nolan Ryan. So I started sending him graded rookie cards and second year cards of Nolan Ryan. And that went on for years. And then I lived in Orange County for 15 years, and so San Marino, Rancho Cucamonga, or San Marino, Ontario, Rancho Cucamonga, I would call him just to say hi, and he would always say, are you coming out? Yeah, I'm coming out. I'll come out. He goes, okay. When you get 5 minutes from the factory, from the warehouse, the store, all corporate, he would say, call me. Okay. So I would call him and say, I'm pulling up. He'd already be out the door, walking down the steps to greet me. That was Tim Selinski. And Tim Selinski, the best, biggest hug ever. And I couldn't wait for that, because that was the best part. Mm-hmm. Up, smile. And then we would walk in there. And he, of course, I walked by. Hey, Sam. Sammy and Cup and all the guys, everybody there. He would say, go, there's a pal, what do you call it? What do you call it? Dolly. See ya. He sent me off and I get whatever I want. Collectibles, throwing stuff. I didn't, that's just the way it was. And then that's what happened there. And then the last thing I'll say is, because this is kind of important. So the collectibles thing that we had together, we came together and started talking about collectibles, and we knew that the proliferation of sports cards into last year was 1990 Leaf, and then the card manufacturers just started printing just tons of cards, and then they went to nothing. Mm-hmm. So the thought was to make some collectible discs to use as fundraisers for the events. And so what we collaborated on was producing discs for collectability, numbered, certified, COA certification, kind of like they started to do with the sports cards later on, which is important. Things that are limited have more demand, and they're hard to get, so that means that more people want them. The things where they proliferate, you can get any day of the week. People don't want those. So it started with Golden State Classic. You had Sam's Japan Open and U.S. Masters, where we produced those discs, Innova produced those discs, and we turned those into high-demand collectibles by doing just that. In the end, very successful. In the end, Jonathan Poole and myself, because we came together. And then I worked directly with Jonathan for 6 years on the USDGC partner that they initiated, and worked on that to do the same thing for USDGC. So all those USDGC collector rocks are from that initial implementation of the collectibles from Innova early on.
Hmm.
And then I'll end with this, because I have to. I was the last one to find out about it, because it went into my junk email, but people are telling me, hey, Kirk, congratulations. What for? What? What are you talking about? You don't know? And then they wouldn't tell me, because it was like they wanted me to find out, not through them, because I didn't know, but they did. What are you talking about? I told my wife Robin, What are you talking about? Well, Robin goes, well, check your junk email. I check my junk email, and there it is. I never check my junk email. I just get rid of stuff. They announced the inaugural Hall of Fame members for the USDGC Rock Collector CFR Candy Fundraiser Program, and I happened to be it. One of the ten. Well, all the guys were shocked. I mean, we were all shocked that USDGC, Jonathan Poole, Harold Duvall, and of the East, who are great people, did that.
Wow.
I mean, and then there, yeah, it's like, oof.
Hands still trembling.
A little bit. I mean, that's some real important stuff for me because this, you know, when I found this sport in 1977 at the Rose Bowl as a spectator, I knew I wanted to be one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to be a world-class player, specialized freestyle, disc golf, accuracy, and I'm one of them.
Yeah.
And so now I just, I come to majors in the world to hang out and meet lovely people like this and see all my friends going back to 77, whoever's here. And I will continue to do that. I'm going to commit right now to go to, is it Smuggler's Bend?
Smuggler's Notch.
Smuggler's Notch.
Next year.
I'm going to go. Because PGA World Championships is the most important, biggest event of every year in our sport.
Mm.
Okay?
That's, it's the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And then, to end, I really wanted this on video, but... That's all right.
She's got a camera.
We'll describe.
Oh yeah, okay.
Here at the Theater of Radio, maybe we'll make this our picture to go with this.
Oh, we are. We are, because do you know who the 2021 USDGC Masters Open woman was? Masters woman.
This guy happened to be there.
Well, who was it?
The USDGC?
No. US Masters.
The Tim Sawinski US Masters. Yeah, who was standing about 8 feet behind her when she threw in the playoff hole.
You talking about this girl?
I'm talking about Jennifer Allen. Yeah.
Well, that's what that is.
Yeah.
It is.
Which the one is sitting right next to you right
which
now.
Which is why.
Yeah. That Jennifer Allen.
Yeah, not the only, the one and only Jennifer Allen.
Uh-huh.
Which is why.
Look
it
at
is
this.
So important to me. That's a unique color, too.
Of course. It's black stamp.
Mm-hmm.
Bubble top, pop top, a little less stable, like, you know.
Yeah, for this
bean,
I do. I threw it a lot today.
Okay, well, smart.
I threw it on 17, almost a little too long into the cart in front of us. Whoopsie. But that's really kind of the reason I want to learn as much as possible about Tim. That was my first major. And so it's the sport itself is very special to me, but this is a little more special.
Now, real quick, for our listeners who can't see this, what is it that you guys are passing back and forth between yourselves here?
Well,
this is a what?
Yeah, this, what this is...
Commemorative.
It's a commemorative Star Wraith, which you guys should all be throwing.
True. This Halo one is very stable, though. Yeah. I will tell
it's
you
that. It's
a
commemorative Star Wraith from last year's Tim Sawinski U.S. Masters Championship. It's got Jennifer Allen's
stamp. The only one, and you know, I cherry pick everything. Mm-hmm. The only one with a black stamp that I saw out of about, I don't know, 15.
It's got Jennifer Allen's stamp on
it. I can tell you,
champion.
I have quite a few of them, and there wasn't too many red like this. So this one's pretty special.
So it's a beautiful disc.
You have
sort
one
of
here.
A trophy.
Is yours better than mine?
It's commemorative.
From over there. Wait a minute now. Hold on a minute.
I want to see which marker's better.
I want to know where you're going to sign it.
I sign them in the same spot.
Okay.
Between Kurt and Jennifer now, I think we're having a little bit of a signing party.
So yeah, we are.
Jennifer can sign
the
disc.
So the thing, hold on, Jennifer. Just
we'll get a picture of this as part of this episode.
So the thing about it is.
On our website.
Let's just real quick talk about that disc a little bit more because. And get us in there. Phil, hold on a second.
I will.
This is so cool. They did a good job on this with the way that they did it. Jennifer Allen, 2021 PDGA. There he is.
There he
Tim
is.
Tim Sawinski, U.S. Masters Champion Commemorative Edition. Yes. Do you have any idea what the production number was on these?
I don't.
You, You got to find these things out. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And where do you sign it? In the middle of the top?
I typically always sign right here.
Just above your last name?
Yeah.
Well, then that's... Okay, well, hold on just a second.
So on this disc, Kurt, you have an old friend's name and a new friend's name.
Every one of my discs.
Okay, but this is mine.
I know.
Okay, I don't want you to sign it.
Okay, you tell me where. In the middle?
How'd you know that?
Because... This is kind of a spot for me.
Well, why didn't you say so?
All right.
Beautiful. You are too much.
So Jennifer is signing Kurt's disc.
Hopefully,
woo-hoo,
I'll go win it again.
And the picture we're taking right now, we're going to put up at PDGA.com as part of this radio episode's image.
Thank you.
And while the ink is drying...
You are something else, girl.
Well, thank
I'm
you.
So happy I met you this week.
Same. Things happen for a reason.
While the disc is drying here, one more time, give us in your own words the reasons why not just a tournament,
mm-hmm,
but a major was selected so that Tim Selinsky's name would be attached to it forevermore. Why did that happen? Back in, what was it, 2011-ish? I think is when the official name of the U.S. Masters
probably
tournament changed.
I'm not going to say that, because if I don't know the answer, I'm not going to misread
it. It was some years ago. I know that, and I'm just asking in your own words why you think that happened.
Tim was such a he's just a phenomenal person, promoter, ambassador, supporter of the sport.
Sure.
Most certainly a major contributor to the overall success of Innova Champion Discs. He was more about public relations and making sure that everybody that wanted to be involved in the sport was, and he made sure of it.
Spread the love. That's what
it
was all
Selinsky.
About. Yeah, that's what it...
Well, we asked for special people to tell us about a special person we can chalk today up as a success, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Kurt, thank you so much for going back in your memory.
Appreciate meeting you and sitting down with you and chatting about...
thank you.
Yeah.
Cherish that disc.
Well, you know, what happens is, if you saw my office, you'd be like, you got to be kidding.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so something I'm going to have to remove.
Oh,
so this goes on.
It's worth it.
That's
cherish that disc, and more importantly, cherish Tim's memory.
Definitely.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir. So thank you so much again, David Greenwell, Sam Farrens, and Kurt Lampkin, for taking your time to share those moments about Tim Selinsky with us and all of our listeners. We are so excited to be able to honor him this week at the U.S. Masters.
And the PDGA Tim Selinsky U.S. Masters begins on Thursday, September 8th, runs through Sunday the 11th, and you can find coverage of that event on all PDGA channels and at PDGA.com, so don't miss a moment of the action. And Jennifer, hey, best of luck this week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us this week at PDGA Radio.
Bye.